beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Hey, previously on Dubious Intent.
Well, we are going to be tasting the s'mores version of the Oreos.
I can't wait.
And it's supposedly, it's all artificial, of course, but it's graham flavored.
What?
Yeah. Graham flavored cookie with a slab of chocolate and a slab of marshmallow on the cookie.
Well, you had me at artificially flavored.
Okay, we're going to, of course, as we usually do, because we've done this now five or six times, we're going to try the Oreo. And it looks like a...
The chocolate's on one side, and well...
It's kind of like a split thing.
Slanted.
Yeah, slanted split thing. So you've got marshmallow, chocolate, and graham-flavored cookies. Shall we try?
Sure.
Let's try.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. What is that? Something's. It's time for Dubious. What?
I'm not getting sworn.
Hold on. There's something. This is like Paul Armstrong's latest video where they're trying out Oreos. It's like.
That's the loudest crunching I've heard in my life.
By the marshmallow.
They do like their crunching. They are really, really examining these Oreos.
It doesn't bring me back to summer camp, though.
I never went, so I don't know.
Well, that's that Catholic upbringing.
We had these on the beach.
They had them on the beach, Adam. Adam, they had these on the beach.
Did you roast the marshmallows?
They would sit out on the beach, and they would have a futuristic product from 30 years
like
in the future.
It's
like, yeah, Oreos, Graham, whatever these things. S'mores, Oreos didn't exist when he was on the beach. That's what I'm trying to say.
Are they doing strawberry shortcake ones? Because they had those at Walmart tonight when I went.
I don't, he's done like eight. It's like if there's a flavor, he's like, oh, it's the tequila and lime Oreo. We're going to try those today.
Tamale flavor.
I would not have said, oh, this tastes just like a s'more.
Yeah, I don't think I would have either.
Okay.
Because the cookie is not anywhere near graham.
Oh, my God. It's just a cookie. Just yes or no. Do you like the cookie?
If you like a vanilla flavored marshmallow and chocolate cookie.
Yes.
Do you? For the s'mores.
Do you like that, Adam?
S'mores limited edition.
I love it.
All right, then it sounds like we should absolutely get.
I want to try the strawberry one.
Like it.
Wait, why is he asking him what is? You just gave us the verdict, and now you're asking what the verdict is.
Isn't that always the way?
No, I like the red velvet ones.
You did like the red velvet ones.
Did you say something about a red velvet one? Or no, you said strawberry shortcake.
Strawberry shortcake.
Oh, dear God.
Cookie.
The birthday cake ones make my teeth hurt.
Sugar.
That's true, I do. All right,
good. Are we done? We done?
There's our verdict.
We're done. Your verdict.
I like them.
Yes.
He doesn't have an opinion.
Yeah, I don't dislike them. The ones I really dislike.
Well, if you don't dislike them, then you like them.
I really thought those were too sweet, bordering on this cloying nasty.
Yeah.
Yes. Then I'd have one or two of these.
Okay, then I'll save you some. But definitely they do not taste like graham, crackers. No.
They don't, Adam. They don't.
So there you go. That's we're going to add this to the collection of Oreo videos that you can click
see, Adam,
on
the they have an entire playlist of Oreo eating
and
videos.
All of the Oreo videos.
Oreo playlist.
So that's all we have for today. Mm-hmm. Until next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, wow. That was a really long intro, Adam. That was crazy.
It was.
It's just crazy. It was randomly interrupted by a Paul Armstrong video. That's like the craziest thing that's this kind of week, Adam. It's just a crazy week where anything like can and will happen. You know, it's Tony's night, Adam. The Tonys are on. I don't know if you knew that.
I am aware. So I'm up to speed with everything. We're not finishing the intro.
It's the Tony Show. There, that's as close to anything as I can get. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Adam Burns.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, no, I was aware, I don't watch the Tonys, but I was aware that there is a little show, you know, just some little summer filler show.
Yes.
That they put on where people sing and dance and do things like that. Neil Patrick Harris.
More importantly, the people that are really good at singing and dancing do singing and dancing things. No, James Corden is the host this year.
Well, I don't. He's usually there. Neil Patrick Harris is usually there.
He was there. He was there. Like, I saw the opening tonight before the show started. Yes. And it's like Neil Patrick was in. He has his hair is shaved. I don't know why his head is shaved, but he's like, he's got.
It's a midlife crisis.
No, I think he's in some role. He's in some role as like a cancer patient or something.
Right. He's a he's auditioning for the new co-host of Live with Kelly. And apparently she likes a man with a freshly shorn head. And so he's,
I can't believe I just did a Michelle Visage laugh just right now. I just realized that was the fakest fucking laugh that I've ever done in my life. Adam, how you been? It's been a week, hasn't it?
Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year, Daniel.
It is. It's summer.
I've been okay. You know, I've been all right. It's nothing really has happened this week other than for me. I mean, things have happened this weekend, but nothing personally for me has happened. Except we're still planning, and you know, after we get back from Hawaii, then you guys won't have to suffer through any Hawaii planning stories. You'll have to suffer through Hawaii, like, you know, stories of Hawaii, like what we did.
I thought that you and Vera would just be like, you know, the summer viewing list or whatever, you know, like, you know, they play that really shitty American version of Big Brother in the summer to like cover up all the fact that there's nothing new on TV. Just like, so if you and Vera, if she releases her cruise videos and you release your Hawaii videos, then there you go. That's an entire summer's worth of entertainment.
Exactly. Well, you know, so I do want to say I'm in the final stages of booking hotels for Hawaii. Yeah. And let me tell you something about a trip to Hawaii, Daniel. If you don't know this about a trip to Hawaii.
I have never traveled to Hawaii, Adam. This would be completely brand new information for me.
It is damned expensive to go to Hawaii.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I know. You know, I hear it costs like $25,000 for them to make websites out there. Here, let's listen to what this is. Hello.
Hey, Daniel. Hey, Adam. This is Scott the Seder. You know, Seder69 on the Twitter. Yeah. Host of the Seder Sphere podcast. I'm calling the celebrity death line because Gordie Howe, a.k.a. Mr. Hockey, has passed away. I know neither one of you really know him, but he
no
is.
Idea.
Truly one of the greatest hockey players of all time. And he passed away this morning at 88. And he played for the Red Wings. I don't like the Red Wings, but I respect him. Just a great man.
Is he crying?
Money. I mean, he's nicknamed Mr. Hockey for the love of God.
It
hockey
sounds like
players,
it.
You know,
hockey players.
Come on.
Yeah?
Give it to him. This is his hater. Catch you later. Okay. Bye-bye.
He was 90.
Whatever. Just for begging. Just for sheer begging.
Now,
give him
now Seder, you know, I mean, I understand getting all worked up and everything, but the guy was 90 years old, it looks like. He was born in 1928. That would make him 88, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
because it's only 2016.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he was 88. I mean, you know, that's a ripe old age.
You could round that up. You could round 88 up to 90.
Not that you can't be sad, but I'm just saying he was 88. It's not like it was unexpected. You know, he wasn't like a 30-year-old.
He wasn't mowed down in the prime of his life. No, but
no.
Yeah. How did he die? He just died in his sleep.
I don't know. He just.
I know. I gave it to him for the begging. Anyway, so Adam, you were saying that Hawaii, which by the way is just another state. Did you know that? It's not even a foreign country. It's just part of the United States.
It is, and it's going to be a really fun trip. But everything that we add to our list of things to do is cha-ching, cha-ching. Cha-ching. I mean, it's like this. It's going to be so exciting. I'm going to be broke when I get back. Broke. And we're moving and going to Hawaii all in the same month. It is ridiculous.
Hashtag
anyway,
1%.
It didn't. That wasn't planned.
They're forcing
very well.
Me to go to Hawaii. You know, it's like you know who is in Hawaii like soon, like sooner than you?
Joe Batance.
Friend of the show, Joe Batance, is going to Hawaii.
Yeah. In fact, Joe Batance asked for our Maui itinerary because he's going to be in Maui. And he said, I want something fun to do. And I'm sure my parents don't have anything fun planned. So can you guys give me a list? Anyway, so what I was going to say, I have a burning question.
A burning question. Wait, who for? Who is the burning question for?
For the chat room,
for
the audience,
chat room,
you, anyone.
The loyal listeners of this show.
So I'm not gonna talk numbers on hotel prices. Let's just say that they are not cheap.
Okay.
But I have in our budget we have a resort with it's right on Waikiki Beach. With it has, I think, 5 swimming pools, 20 restaurants. It has a spa. It has a fitness center. It has all of these wonderful amenities. But in our budget, we can only get a room that faces the mountain.
Yes.
Not the beach.
Yes.
So we're on the lovely beach, but we can't see the ocean.
Yes.
Or for the same price, we can get a hotel that is only, so this one, let's say, is a 4-star hotel. For the same price, we can get a, let's say, a 3-3.5-star hotel with really no amenities, a tiny little swimming pool, no fancy restaurants, maybe like a Wolfgang Puck Express in the lobby, you know, a gym, but it's a tiny little gym, no spa, like no amenities really. But for the same price, we can get a full-on ocean view. With a lanai. They call it a lanai. It's kind of like the Golden Girls. It's a balcony, but they call it a lanai.
Wait, here. Go ahead.
So that's my question. So I've got a budget in my mind. Like, I've got a price range in my mind. So is it view of ocean or is it amenity?
How come everything sounds like a bad HGTV show? Yes. Will Adam choose the horrible view and the budget, or the lax accommodations with the correct view? Here's my thought to you, Adam. Have you you're from Arkansas?
Yep, last time I checked.
And so have you ever lived in an ocean adjacent state?
I have not.
Okay, so let me tell you this.
Wait a minute. I briefly lived in California when I was going through my. I went to that turn-me-not-gay place, but we weren't on the beach.
Okay. If you're in a hotel on the beach, so like, and this goes pretty much universally, I have found. So let's say that you are, someone who is in St. Petersburg Beach, Florida, or you're in, Hilton Head Island or whatever, any place where you're like on the beach, Miami Beach, whatever, when you're on the beach, the hotel is on the beach. There is something about the air of being on the beach. You've got a really strong sea breeze and you get a smell of the ocean that is an unmistakable, you know, positively ionically charged air. That is just ocean air. It feels very different than normal air. And it doesn't matter whether you're looking out at beautiful mountains or if you're looking out at the actual sand. You're still going to have that gorgeous ocean air, which is really what you want. It's just like, do you really care whether you're, you don't have volcanic mountains in Arkansas, so you would still be looking at volcanic mountains, which would be lovely, just as lovely as the
that's true.
It's like, but you're still
on Waikiki Beach.
Yes, but you're going to hear the, make no mistake, Adam, you will hear the ocean. It's like as you go out on your, the difference will be that when you're on your mountainside balcony looking out over the mountains, you'll hear and you'll be able to talk over.
And apparently,
that.
We'll hear Buzzy meowing
yes,
in the background.
Yes, there's cats.
As
there's
well.
Cats in the surf. It's part of they're in Hawaii. They're called sea cats. It's very cool of you to pick up on that. No, here's the thing, Adam, is that if you were on the beach side, there's a chance that the ocean would be so fucking loud that you wouldn't even be able to have a conversation out there. It was like when I was at Joe Batanza's place in Malibu, right on the freaking ocean.
It was steps away from the water.
It was so loud at times. It was just like you couldn't hear yourself think. You had to shut the doors just to because it was so fucking loud. It's just the waves and stuff. So I think you should absolutely go for the 4-star mountain view. That is my thought. Because, Adam, the other thing, if you're really, really nice at check-in and maybe you watch a couple of Brian Brushwood's videos on like how to stay in a hotel or how to get free things in a hotel, he gives you a lot of really nice ideas that even though you've booked a mountain view room that you can like be very, you can say certain things or whatever, the hotel register, the person that clerks you in, actually has the power to upgrade your room without costing you more money. You just have
to
know.
Do I like slip them a cool 20?
No, actually, you know what it is? Most people don't ask. And it's just kind of like, it's like the worst they can say is no, but it's just like, you should always on check and go, is there any, you wouldn't happen to have an upgrade back there, would you? Blah, blah. They actually have, in their budget, like as their employee, like we used to as bartenders, we had in our budget a certain number of free drinks that we could give away, right? So that we would just not rob
the
bar or whatever.
I saunter up to the counter and I say, hey.
No, but I'm saying if you're nice.
Is that an upgrade?
You like look at her name tag or his name tag. It's like, hey, hi, Barry. It's so nice to see you. Are you?
Is that an upgrade in your pocket, or are you just happy?
Is this
to see?
You here on Grindr? Is this you, the second one? That right. is an amazingly attractive picture of you, Barry. I'm very impressed. Hey,
is that a professional photograph?
Hey, would you? Go ahead and get that phone there, Barry. That's fine. Just go ahead and get that.
Hey guys, this is Megs, and it looks like Kimbo Slice is dead at 42.
What?
Aside from being MMA fighter and underground fighter, I really don't know if he's known for anything.
Was he a wrestler?
But yeah, there you go. Bye.
Okay.
He's a wrestler.
No, he's an MMA guy.
Well, yeah.
Mixed martial arts is not wrestling, Adam. These are two separate things.
Well, there's a tribute special for him
very,
on Spike.
This is a really. By the way, Adam, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. This is a very dicey decision here, Adam. You're going to set precedents because soon we're going to have people going roller derby girl, Biffalo Buffy.
Well, it has to be Mags because we said any wrestlers, any flavor of wrestler has to come from Mags. Fine. There is Spike is doing a special, an hour long special on June 24th for Kimbo Slice. So he must be famous.
He must be.
He's getting a special on Spike.
They don't just give those to anybody, Adam. You have to be.
No.
Yeah, you absolutely have to be. Hey, Adam, you know at the beginning of our show where you hear the guy that goes beware.
Yep.
I forget everything he says. Beware.
Did he die?
Contains very offensive language. No.
Yes.
So it turns out in the EU, I guess, they have to put these ridiculous disclaimers in front of all of their shows. And I took that particular disclaimer from an episode of Big Brother last year. Anyway, Big Brother just started the other day, and I wanted to point this out to you. This is the new one this year, and I want to see if you like this one better than the one we have. Here you go. It sounds like this.
Be prepared for torrents of highly offensive language from the start and throughout. Scenes of a sexual nature and extremely aggressive confrontations.
Well, I like it, but it needs some background music.
I see. Yeah.
The one that we've got has background music. I don't know if you added that music.
No. They just did it differently this year.
I like it.
Torrents of extreme language.
I like the sexual whatever. Of course, you know, I would like that.
Yeah, of course you would. Anyway, let's see. I'm hearing from the chat room that the audio is coming in and out. Nothing I can do about that. So hopefully it says on my side that we are connected. So I'm just going to go with that. By the way, yeah, I find that TuneIn is fairly reliable. That's why I always tell people to use TuneIn. But I'm completely off my rocker here, Adam, because people listening to us are going, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? We don't understand. And you know what, Adam? It's because it's 9:37 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and that can, of course, mean only one thing, that we are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing Tony-ignoring audience. It's Adam, who is joining us in the chat room here this evening.
We have CC Marshall, Daddy Dave, Good Humor Penguin, Joe in Dallas, Tony's, Lamont Cranston, Parker, RT Cruiser, Scotty Battler, SW, mm-hmm. Toppy Smelly, mm-hmm. FL Mac, and Terpt.
I know. Look at that. We have, thanks everyone for coming out and joining us this evening.
It's a pretty big chat room for a Tony night.
It is. I think the thing, you know, and I don't want to be that guy.
Well, you know, Adam, what it is it's the makeup of this year's Oregon.
It's just Hamilton, like, was nominated for 16 awards, so it's kind of a foregone conclusion that they're going to, like, even if they only win half of the Tonys that they were nominated for, that's still, like, you know, 8 Tonys. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So I've got a couple of things here that we can talk about, but do you want to talk about yours before I talk about mine, or do you want me to talk about mine before I talk about yours? they don't know what we're talking about, Adam, because they can't see what we see, but shh, don't tell them. But I just want to know.
I'll show you mine if you should. Well, I want to end with something light. So
So we probably shouldn't end with the weekend tragedy.
No, we shouldn't.
End with the weekend tragedy. I don't want to talk about the weekend tragedy. I mean, I want to talk about talking about the weekend tragedy. How's that?
Okay.
We don't want to actually talk about the actual tragedy. It's just one of those things. I think your question was about it. It's just like, why are people on Facebook people?
Well, no, and I do want to say we try to remain as lighthearted as possible on the show, so we're not going to go into any deep you know, whatever's about what happened today, but our thoughts are with everyone, and it was a horrible thing that happened.
It was.
And I don't understand people. I don't understand people at all, why they would do things. But anyway, but what I specifically was talking about is when tragedy happens and you open up your Facebook, as you do.
No,
you know?
No, that's your mistake right there, is as you do. Well, it's like, no, as you don't do.
Well, you know, I'm in church and I got to have something to do while the pastor's praying. And I open up Facebook and it's, everything is politicized. Like, it, immediately when a tragedy occurs, we can't just be, you know, sweet, nice, human. Well, human might be a bad choice of words, but we can't be just nice and understanding and just, you know, reaching our arms out to anyone affected by things. We've got to bring in our political views and, you know, be putting down one side or the other and all this kind of stuff, right? And I just think we should just take a moment to be supportive and loving and not political. I just don't think there's a need to make something political out of a tragedy.
Well, there isn't, but then welcome to the internet, right? I mean, this is not, it's not just tragedies. It's every little fucking thing, right? It's every little thing. It's like, there's going to be someone who's going to take this, you know, to what to you will be an extreme. And I want to point that out because I don't know if you remember George Carlin used to talk about people driving, right? And it's like, it boiled down essentially into everyone that drives slower than you is an asshole and everyone who's driving faster than you is an idiot, right? So it's just like,
right.
If people don't drive the exact same speed, it's like, this asshole's in my way, whatever. And then the guy flies by you and he's like, look at that idiot. It's like, I think, you know, in the realm of this current environment where pretty much everything we read online is algorithmically ensured to be in line with what we want to read. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm going to open up my Google News page tomorrow and I'm going to see an article about, I don't know, you know, the Catholic Church or something, you know, like some kind of weird. And it's like Google, I don't see sports scores on my Google News page, stuff like that, because I'm signed in under my Google account and they have a profile and they know what I like. And so it's one of those things. There's like on Facebook, there's an algorithm that controls what I see in my feed. Famously, Facebook got in trouble for manipulating that to try to like show that they could make people happier or sadder depending on what show, you know, what stories they let come through their feeds. It's like, it's one of those things. There's like, I don't know that these people are being exceedingly political or if it's just that they're being against your political view and it makes it appear as though it's political. However, you're not wrong. I'm just pointing out that it's not. It's everything, right? It's like we expect the world to agree with us, and when the world doesn't agree with us, we're like, what? What the fuck?
Well, no, and it's not, and I'm not saying that I agree or disagree with any of the views. I'm just saying, you know, rather than the first thing I see is a kind, thoughtful, you know, reaching out, you know, we've set up this page to accept donations or anything nice and, you know, friendly and whatever. The first thing I see is something political. Somebody did something wrong that caused this, and they were, whether the person is right or not, that's not necessarily the first thing I want to see.
Yeah, Pat Robertson saying that it was God's revenge on same-sex marriage. You have Donald Trump.
Well, that was proven to be false, but
Yeah, he had said that about something else, right? It was just years ago and not. All right, that did seem weird. It's like, who is Pat Robertson still alive? Anyway,
that was a false story.
Okay, you had Donald Trump tweeting out, you know, it's like, well, people keep telling me that I was right about this. You know, you had other people just saying really insensitive, stupid. That one guy, the mayor or whatever that like deleted his tweet, or the deputy mayor that deleted his tweet early this morning, where he basically.
Oh, in Texas?
Yeah, the Bible verse that he like, reap what you sow or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's the internet, Adam.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's
so easy
to get wrapped up in this stuff, right? It's like someone says something, you know, or they posted a picture and he's like, oh, that's exactly how I feel. Like, yes, let's all pray for that or whatever. And then you like you share it. And of course, that's going to go to people that don't necessarily agree with that. And it's not that far of a step to go from that to go like, oh, well, you know, here's the thing about them taking away our guns, because I believe that we should have guns. So therefore, all of my friends will believe that too. Right. And they're going to post it. It's just, it's, you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you do the thing? It's like, it was an interesting story this week, if you will allow me to diverge for just a moment.
Sure.
There was an interesting story that SourceFed came out with a YouTube video the other day. stating that Hillary Clinton was in league with Google, that Google was manipulating the search results for Hillary Clinton to eliminate any kind of negative story about Hillary Clinton to show up. This is important now, to show up in the auto.
Yeah, I saw that.
In the autocomplete. No, I mean, this piece is important, not that the whole thing is important. This piece is important. It's like Google stands accused of eliminating negative things in the autocomplete box of Google, right? So like if you go to Google, okay, and you type in, I don't know, Daniel Brewer is a, there will be some suggestions, right? There's just random suggestions based off of the most natural or most likely thing that you might be searching for, right? Daniel Brewer attorney, Daniel Brewer artist, Daniel Brewer architect, Daniel Brewer, you know, it's like, so these are things that people had searched for, right? When I say Daniel Brewer A. But what the SourceFed said was, if you type in Hillary Clinton and then CRI, right, for crimes, right?
Yes.
The very first suggested that comes up is Hillary Clinton crime reform, even though we can show that people don't search for that, but people do search for Hillary Clinton crime. Look, you know, and it's like, and if you go to Bing and you go to Yahoo and you type in Hillary Clinton CRI, they, you know, include crime right at the beginning and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, but if you look for Donald Trump racist, you know, R-A, like Donald Trump R-A, then you'll see, you know, the first result is Donald Trump. So clearly Hillary Clinton is in league with Google because there's this secret organization that the Clinton campaign hired to do their tech support. And that company is owned by Eric Schmidt, who's on the board of Alphabet. And the Clinton CTO is actually a former Google employee. So clearly there's all of this stuff and blah, blah, blah. So as it turns out, you know, several hours after this story broke, someone, Matt Cutts, I believe, actually debunked the whole thing and was like going like, look, Google in the autocomplete will never suggest anything that like would be unfounded or negative towards someone. So in the same respect that if you type in Hillary Clinton crime or CRI, you're not going to get Hillary Clinton crime. It's your first thing. You won't even get
so
it.
If you said Hillary Clinton is a,
no,
and then the letter C.
Yes.
You wouldn't get the rest of that.
You wouldn't get cunt. Right. They do not. They filter that out actively. And so it turns out that it's like if you type in Donald Trump crime, CRI, you will not get anything about crimes. It's just one of those things that racist wasn't considered bad enough, I guess, to filter out. But it's like they're and the reason that they had written this into the algorithm, the reason that they had done this, and by the way, all it does, if you type in Hillary Clinton crimes and search it, you'll still search for it, is that they're not blocking any search. They're just not giving it to you as an active suggestion.
You know what you will get if you type Hillary Clinton as a
what?
C?
What?
Carpetbagger.
Carpetbagger, exactly.
I say, sir, she's a carpetbagger. I mean, well, where are, what time period is this?
But Google actually put this into the algorithm in response to people doing YouTube videos about, look, if you go in Google and you type in Hillary Clinton is a, you know, it's like you get all of the top results. All the suggestions are just really nasty. Like if you go back and look at some YouTube videos a couple of years ago about the Google autocomplete. So as it turns out, the Google autocomplete actually is a lot smarter than it's letting on. And it's like the Bing and the Yahoo ones just take the most popular ones. So on Bing and Yahoo, which nobody ever uses, you can still search for crazy things. But anyway, it was just one of those things that in my mind, and this is how it ties back to your thing. I swear to God, this ties back. It ties back in the sense that it's like, here's a thing that Google took out because people were freaking out on the internet. And now the internet is freaking out at the fact that they took away the thing that they had originally freaked out about. And it's just like, that's like 2016 in a nutshell right there. Everyone freaking the fuck out about everything. Just like a set on 11. There's like no nuance to it whatsoever. You're either absolutely fucking outraged or you're completely incensed that someone is outraged. It's like those are the two settings, right? Negative 11 and 11. It's just it's insane. Welcome to 2016. Welcome to this election year, Adam.
Yeah, I know. I anyway, that's it. But again, our thoughts are with all of those affected. And I wanted to tell everyone before we answer that.
Okay.
I was worried about Larry Dean, or not Larry Dean, Larry Vader. What am I doing? I'm mixing two Pride 48 names. Larry Vader, I was worried because Fatty had said that he was going to Orlando, and I got confused and thought it was this weekend, and I messaged him and he's fine.
Yes, he was at Gay Days, which is last weekend.
So he's fine. Larry Vader is fine.
Larry Vader was not at the Pulse nightclub. We can confirm from the Dubious Intent newsroom that Now can I answer the phone?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, hello.
Yeah, hi guys. IT Cruiser for this celebrity death phone. Playwright Peter Schaefer, dead at 90. Probably most famous for putting live penises on stage since 1973 in his play Equus. Okay, bye.
There you go, Adam. Adam, you would do your for live penises.
Oh, Daniel Radcliffe was in Equus and had his live penis on stage. As opposed to what? RT, a dead penis?
Yeah, a dead penis. Or a fake penis, I believe is what he means. Is like a fake, an artificial penis. You know, you're getting a real live, the real thing, Adam. The real thing. Speaking of the real thing.
Yes.
Little movie came out on Friday that I've been wanting to see for a couple of years now. That would be...
Oh, it's already out?
Yeah, Warcraft movie came out on Friday.
Okay.
Critics hate it. They absolutely, like, hate it. You know, it's gotten, like, the worst critical scores, you know, whatever, like 22% or something like that. But if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's really weird because the critic score is, like, really, really low, but the audience score is really, really high. And it's kind of one of those... It's a movie based off of a video game, yes, but the main complaint from these critics are that they're lost, right? There's just too many characters and there's too many things, and it's just like, I just don't follow it, and it's just like, and it's just kind of like, you know, when it's like, well, there's a lot of things in a lot of places in Lord of the Rings too. It's just, you know, that people would read those books, and it's like, so if you don't know anything about the World of Warcraft lore, in my mind, I thought it played like just a regular fantasy movie, like not the greatest fantasy movie in the world. But if you didn't know anything about World of Warcraft, you would still be enjoyable, I thought. It's like, these are one side of this faction that is warring, and that's the other side that's, you know, it's like, I don't know a lot about World War II, but when I see those movies, I get that these people are on different sides, right? And they're fighting each other. However, if you do know World of Warcraft, if you know the lore of Warcraft and whatever, it's a great movie. It was actually a very well done movie. I was worried about going with it because I'm a crier, Adam. I cry at things.
I know.
I cry at, like, there was something the other day that I cried at, and I was just like, this is the stupidest fucking thing in the world for me to cry. Oh, I know what it was. It was the Nike YouTube video where the soccer player collides into the kid and they switch places or whatever, and then they wake up in each other's shoes, and then I was crying. I was bawling at it, Adam. I was just bawling at this YouTube video at my desk. It was embarrassing. So I didn't want to go see the movie because I thought, you know what? I'm going to cry in this movie. I'm going to cry in this movie.
But because of the fact that you've been wanting to see it so long and that you finally have realized your dream of seeing it, or
no.
Do you think there's going to be some sad moment?
Yeah,
in there,
I mean, I know the lore. I know these characters, and I was like, I know there's some tragedy. And he's like, you know, so it was like, to me, it was just kind of like, you know, oh, I'm, you know, I know I'll cry if they get me, I'll get it anyway. So the point is, my fears were unfounded, Adam. I was the only person in the theater.
The only one, like, at all?
like an 80-seat theater or 100-seat theater, whatever, like, your standard theater seat is, I was the only person in the show. He's like, there was not enough. And then I reported this.
That doesn't bode well for a Warcraft 2.
Actually, well, it made so much money overseas in China and stuff that, yeah, they've already made everything. There probably will be a Warcraft 2. But the, you know, one of the critics that said something good about it made a really good point, which is, you know, there's very little original content in movies right now, so it's kind of a shame. It's like, you kind of want these things to succeed because they're something new, right? They're not, it's not the same old stuff repeated over. It's not Nightmare on Elm Street 63 or, you know, or the Fast and Furious 18. Well, or
there's an old one. They haven't made a Nightmare on Elm Street.
No,
in a long
but I'm just
time,
saying, you know, like a lot of things, like here's the next Star Wars installment, or here's the next Marvel installment, or here's the next. It's like, there's not a lot of original stuff. I think that's why. What was the one last year? Pacific Rim was such a hopeful last year. It's because it was a completely new story about these big robot things. And it's like, and they actually did make a Pacific Rim 2. So there. Anyway, I liked Warcraft, Adam. I don't know that you would care for it, but I liked it a lot.
Well, my thing is, and you know, I played World of Warcraft. I just can't devote enough time to anything to get good. And so eventually I was just like, ugh, I can't. Because
it just seemed like
sucky all the time.
The things that they were like whining about not getting, to me, it just seems like stupid. It's just like, you don't need to know what fell is. They're using it like a bad word. Just know that it's bad, right?
I need story and not just all action for 2.5 hours. Is there story?
Oh, yeah, yes. That was what the critics were annoyed about. They were annoyed. They were annoyed that there wasn't more war and there was like a lot of story. It was just like, yeah, it's kind of a story of two warring factions. It doesn't mean they're always like...
I just, as I've told you while we were waiting in line at Universal Studios for Transformers,
yes,
I just can't stand a movie that's just all fight scene for like, you know, an hour and 55 minutes and like 5 minutes of story. If it, like, I really liked the most recent Captain America because there, I thought there was a lot of, you know, a good, yes, helping of story in there.
Yes. I would say that it follows the Captain America thing pretty closely in the sense that there are basically just two main fight scenes in the entire 2 hour movie. So there's like a mid movie big fight scene, and then there's the end of movie big fight scene. And it's like, but it's not, everything else is story. It's just like, you know, so they're not constantly fighting because they would all die, right? It's just like, it has, yeah, to do with like all of their, like, anyway, it's a great movie.
I'm looking
forward to seeing it again.
We have a lot of World of Warcraft players in Pride 48, so I bet a lot of them have already seen it or will see it.
Yes. Through the internet, I am told that like 40 minutes was cut from it that hopefully will come back on the Blu-ray. And I will absolutely violate all my rules and actually buy a Blu-ray if it has the missing scenes and stuff like that.
So speaking of Blu-rays, and this is not on the list, but I wanted to mention this really quick. I got Facebook. Matt Burlingame was talking about liking old British comedies on Facebook. And I commented and we started having this chat back and forth. And I remembered a show that I really liked when I was over in England called My Family, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
And so this brought me about a search for how can I see this show again? Because there are like 11 seasons and I only saw maybe one season of it.
It's called Still Family? What?
My Family.
My Family. Who's in this?
Let me look and
like
make
how old,
sure.
How old is it? I'm sorry. How old is this?
It is British comedy. It ended in like 2012, 2013. It's called My Family.
Yeah.
And it looks like it ended in 2011. But see, I lived over in England in 2003.
Yeah.
So they would have been right in the prime of their, you know, of the show about then. And I just really enjoyed it for whatever reason. I mean, it's just a typical, you know, family comedy, sitcom sort of thing. You know, dad's a dentist, wants to be something else other than a dentist, gets into all kind of mayhem, you know, and there's a wife. Anyway, so I was like, how do I see this? Because it wasn't streaming anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not streaming anywhere. And it may be on that BBC One player thing. I didn't check that. And you can, there are some weird things you can do, like, you can trick it. Yes. I can't remember what you need to do, but you can trick it and make it think you're in England or whatever by doing.
I thought BBC was offering now like a Netflix style like subscription to BBC that has everything except the stuff that they've negotiated with other things. So it wouldn't have the masterpiece. It wouldn't have the Downton Abbey or Doctor Who because those are somewhere. But it should have all the other stuff. Anyway, never mind. Go ahead.
I was just. Did you know? First of all, I was looking. You could buy a season or two on Amazon. But to actually over here, but I was reading an article or something that I found online, and they said you can get it so much cheaper on amazon.co.uk or .co.uk. So I went to amazon.co.uk and I looked, and I could get the whole 11 seasons plus all of their Christmas specials for like $35.
Okay, so why didn't you do that?
I did do it.
Oh.
Whereas amazon.com, it was like $30 for one season.
Right.
The only problem, though, is they're in that stupid PAL format.
Right.
So now I'm probably going to have to buy a DVD player that is multi-region.
You are.
Or I'm going to have to do some ripping magic on the computer and then go through all that. But it's like 120 episodes, and I don't know if I want to rip 120 episodes of anything.
No, but I mean, so, like, how much are these DVDs or these Blu-ray?
They're DVDs.
So it's like you should be able to find a multi, you know... You should
A Samsung for $30.
Yeah, so you buy the $30 one. Now, as soon as you lock it into that country code, you can only switch it like four times or something over its life or something. But yeah, it's like, who cares? It's like it's your $30.
I think it's a multi-region DVD player. Like you can put any region in there and it just works.
Yeah, it'll come up and say, do you want this to be your... Once you set your default region, which will be the first time, it won't play DVDs from other regions. That's the whole copyright thing that they have. That's why they have region encoding. Is because...
See, I thought that those multi-region were just multi-region, and
no,
they would just do any
no,
region.
No, the reason that they have the region codes, even to start with, are the fact that that's part of their copyright scheme. The multi-region ones mean that it will play, like, the same machine can be sold in all those countries, But as soon as you start playing, actually, even on your PC, the very first time you play,
no, I know
DVD
on the PC
on your video,
you can, you can change it. I'm going to research that because I'm. Why would you buy a multi-region player then? And they advertise it as a multi-region player if it doesn't.
Because that means
stay
that it, you may have moved here. Maybe you moved here and you have a whole collection of stuff in the other format from, you know, growing up or whatever. It's like, it's exactly what it is. It's like there's no reason to region lock it because they're going to region lock it as soon as you run it. So it's just kind of a stupid. Anyway. Well, so you, it sounds like you got it then. So you,
it should be here sometime this week. It was only $5 shipping. So total from the UK, I bought a whole 11 seasons of a show, like 120 episodes for $30 plus $5 shipping. It was great. Anyway, what I was going to say, just really quickly, we took a trip to Sam's Club this weekend.
Took a trip to Sam's. Now, is it like you packed up the car and like
right, yeah. Went to- well, so Mark needs to fill his Balak buy-in box.
I don't know what that is.
Well, I'll explain.
Oh, wait. There's a I'm going to give you a bad review, like a Warcraft movie, because you said something that I didn't understand.
I'm gonna just Balak buy-in box. It's what it, you can actually Google it. It's a corrugated box containing items sent by overseas Filipinos known as Balak buy-ins, though often shipped by freight forwarders specializing in Balak buy-in box by sea. Such boxes can be brought by Filipinos returning to the Philippines buyer. Basically, if they're working abroad and they send these big boxes full of stuff to their family.
Yeah.
And because we're moving, he's going through all the old clothes that don't fit him anymore and stuff like that and whatever. And instead of donating them, he got a box and there's a shipping company in Kansas City that ships them over and on a boat.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because I hear everything's up to date there.
In Kansas City? Yeah. So, but he wants to put
it's
other
the Tony's,
stuff in there.
Adam, and the Tony goes to Adam Burns for getting that musical joke. Did you get that musical
I
joke
got
right
it.
There?
Yes, I got. I absolutely know what you're talking about. Okay. Moving right along. Mm-hmm. So, he wanted to buy some other things to fill, you know, to kind of put in there for presents for them, you know, or, you know, little things like, you know, Spam for some reason. I have no idea why. Nutella, you know, coffee creamer. I don't know. He just wanted bulk items to put in there.
Spam.
And so we went to Sam's, and you know that went relatively well.
You know, Spam is like a delicacy in Hawaii, where you're going, right? You know that every place you go, they're going to serve Spam.
You know, I don't know if I said this on the show, but I agreed to do a chef's dinner.
Yes, you were fretting about it last week on the show. Yes,
yeah. So anyway,
go ahead. I interrupted you. Please continue.
So we get done shopping, and we're bringing out our bounty to the car. And he opens the trunk and we're loading and everything, loading everything into the trunk. And then he says, oh, I'm going to take the cart and put it in the little cart holder thing in the parking lot.
The corral,
right?
The cart corral,
so,
Adam.
So I'm going to be the helpful boyfriend that I am. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to shut the trunk lid.
I feel like I'm your hype man or something. I'm like, shut the trunk lid, shut the trunk lid.
I'm going to shut the trunk lid. And so, as one does, he's returning the cart, so my job is to shut the trunk lid.
Yep.
So I go to shut the, and I try to close it, and it bounces back up, and I see Mark. He has let go of the cart. It's rolling down the parking lot. It's like this slow motion scene in a movie. He's like, no, you know, it's like one of those scenes, and I'm like, what? He's like, my cell phone, my iPhone is, he has perched his iPhone in the corner of the trunk area.
Did you break it?
Well, there's this big, so we open it up and there's this big spidering crack.
Yeah.
Emanating out. And I'm like, oh my God, I've ruined everything.
Now I can get a real phone.
But I was thinking, here is my dilemma here, my emotional dilemma, because I'm a people pleaser and I don't want to hurt anyone or do anything like that. But then I'm thinking to myself, you know, why did he put his iPhone in a place where a trunk could close on it?
iPhone, you know what? And people, then, phones belong in your pockets. God damn it. Not in your back pocket, not on like the counter, not on your desk, whatever, just in your damn pocket. That's where phones belong.
But I felt so bad about it. But I was like, well, should I feel bad about it? You know, should I? Anyway, so the end of the story, though, was he has a screen protector that's glass.
Yeah.
It's a glass screen protector.
So the screen protector
so
is broken.
The screen protector shattered. But when he pulled it off, his phone was fine. So, in fact, I need to get one of those screen protectors for my phone because apparently it works really well.
Oh, it does. That's really...
But I was, yeah.
Hey, let's listen to this. Hello.
Dead. Christina Grimmie. Aww. Dead. Aww. Okay, so I've never heard of her, but apparently she was like on The Voice, or she won The Voice in America, which means you've automatically heard of her. Plus, well, that's you, Adam. Even more importantly, apparently she was some sort of YouTuber.
Yes, she's a YouTuber.
You know, she was like under 25, so that means Daniel's heard of her too. Oh, dead by some crazed person with a gun.
Yes.
That's living in America, I guess. Bye, Scotty, little Aussie battler, entry. Thank you, bye.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of weird that a lot of the people in YouTube are really paranoid after the Christina Grimmie stuff, because VidCon is in Orlando in 2 weeks. And so, you know, with the Christina Grimmie thing, which is she's a YouTuber and she was out signing autographs and some dude came up and shot her. It's like, and then with the Orlando Club shooting last night and VidCon's going to be in Orlando in 2 weeks, there's a lot of high profile YouTubers that are really, you know, freaking out right now about going. It's just
like Tyler Oakley.
I don't watch Tyler Oakley. So I don't know. I mean, I know like Phil DeFranco is, you know, like concerned about it, and like Wheezy Waiter. And it's just like, there's some folks out there that are, you know, rightfully so. Like, you know, if you're Hank Green, you're probably going to have extra security on you, which is a shame, but it's...
It was really sad, you know. So Friday night...
Oh, by the way, did we give him this or not? I didn't even...
Yeah, he gets it.
I'm so sorry, Scotty. I was off on my... my YouTube.
So Friday night, Mark and I get in bed, and as I'm slipping off into dreamland. Because he does Facebook and Instagram right before. Well, actually, he does Facebook and Instagram all day long. He's such an Asian. But anyway, he's doing that before he goes to sleep. And he kind of taps me on the shoulder and he goes, Boyfie, Christina Grimmie was shot. And she's in critical condition. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And then I fall asleep. And then like 6 a.m, he taps me on the shoulder and says, Boyfie. I'm like, what? He's like, Christina Grimmie died.
Yep.
That's how I fell asleep with him telling me she was shot, and I woke up with him telling me she had died. It was really sad. It was very sad.
Can you account for your time between those two moments, Adam?
I was asleep.
So was there any witnesses to you being asleep? It's like, I'm just...
Yeah,
like, maybe.
Mark.
Maybe you.
Sydney.
I don't think Sydney's testimony would be allowed in court. Is what I'm trying to say. I know that I'm supposed to play something, Adam, but it feels like the last couple of times I did it wrong or something, or you wanted me to do it differently.
The birthdays is next.
Okay, that's what I thought. But I thought before when I did that, you were just like, no, they said not to do that. And
no, you didn't do birthdays last time. You did news first.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta. So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Alam.
Happy birthday to you.
Alam.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
The Dubious and Tit birthday segment, a segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue to somebody's birthday, and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will figure out whose birthday it is without cheating and looking in the chat room, unless, of course, I don't know the answer, in which case I'll totally cheat, because that's who I am. Adam, what is our first musical cue this week for the birthdays?
Hi, everybody. I'm looking at my phone, and the time is 12:34. I feel like we should make a wish. It's 12:34.
Buck Hollywood. Michael Buckley.
It is Michael Buckley.
Michael Buckley is my neighbor. You know, he lives right up the road here. I've run into him at Partners. I ran into him at Partners, and I was just like, oh, hey, aren't you Michael Buckley? He's like, yes. I was just like, yeah, you know, I've been watching your channel for a long time. I'm a big fan. I do a podcast. Would you maybe come on and, like, you know, do an interview with us? Oh, yeah, just email me. And so I emailed him the next day, like, you know, but he never responded.
He's like, ah, oh, these stupid fans.
He said, no, I mean, I met him in a gay bar. He said, I wasn't a twink. I think I'm not, you know, maybe he thought it was a pickup.
He's not a twink.
No, but, you know, he's like, well, he's a little younger than me, but yeah.
Michael Buckley turned 41 years old.
41 years young.
All right. Here is our next one.
Isn't this the theme to ER?
It is the theme to ER.
Yes. Who was on ER? I never watched this show.
A lot of people. A lot of people were on
it. Was it
ER.
George Clooney?
It's not. I'm going to play another one.
Oh. I'm waiting now. Was George Clooney even on ER?
He was.
Okay, he was on.
That's all you get.
I know.
But
I should know this one. I should know this one.
Here's one other thing. Ah, damn it. Hold on. I'm doing that thing with my links being incorrect again. Damn it to hell. I have it here. I swear to God. Okay, here we go.
But what do you think?
I would take it. It's amazing we've come this far.
Oh, that's Juliana Margulies.
This jury is unpredictable.
It is Juliana Margulies.
Yeah, there you go. I recognize her voice. So what was it? Oh, was the second one The Good Wife? See, it's such a weird theme. It's like I knew it. I just didn't know what it was from. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very short theme.
Yeah. Which I respect. I respect short themes, especially when you're binge watching things. I'm talking to you.
Juliana.
I'm talking to you, Game of Thrones, with your 1 minute and 45 fucking second theme song that just goes, dun, dun, it's a theme song. It goes on, it goes on, it goes on now, 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 theme song.
Here's our next one. She's 50 years old, by the way.
How old?
50.
50 years young.
It's a theme song. It's a theme song.
Do you have any guesses on that one?
The theme song. It goes on.
We'll see. Game of Thrones. That's a very large cast, Adam.
It is Game of Thrones. All right. I have something else.
Okay.
That wasn't really going to be the next one, but I had to play it since you had just brought it up. Okay. Here's the next clip.
You wish to confess?
I saved you. I saved this city and all your worthless lives. I should have let
that's Peter Dinklage.
It is
Peter Dinklage, right?
It is Peter Dinklage. The scene where they're sentencing him they're judging him for something. I don't remember.
Yes, in X-Men. No,
no, that was in Game of Thrones. He's 47 years old, so he's actually
young.
He's younger than Juliana Margulies.
Wow.
All right, so here's our next one.
It's not abuse, you want to be loved. All right, this is this Tom Jones?
It is Tom Jones.
Exactly, wow.
Yeah, and I was looking. He was actually kind of attractive when he was younger.
Yeah, he was like the women would scream and would throw things up on the stage for him and stuff.
He was a little bit of a heartthrob, and I liked the fact he had brass in that. That was actually a more recent. That was only 3 or 4 years ago. That
See,
one. Apparently
do you still think
still...
him as a heartthrob when you saw him 3 years ago?
Probably not.
I don't think he meets the Adam Burns, criteria.
He's 26 years old.
I think he's a little older than 26 years old.
I'm sorry. Yeah. He's 76 years old.
Oh, 76 years old. Of course, yeah. Just a 50-year difference.
All right,
there.
Two more. Here's our penultimate one.
You look 50 years younger, Tom.
He looks great. All right.
First things first, I'm the realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let 'em feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right.
You should want a bad bitch like this.
You have no clue?
The only female rapper team that I know, is it Salt and Peppa? That's not Salt and Peppa.
No, my God.
I have no idea who this is.
What if I said?
See, even
I'm
Scotty
so
Battler,
fancy.
Even Scotty Battler in the chat room said Salt and Pepper.
You already know.
I have no idea. Is it the Spice Girls? I don't know.
Okay. Someone who is from Australia should know this person. She is a rapper who
Scotty
black
Battler,
don't think
who is from Australia,
rapping.
Says Missy Elliott. Is it Missy Elliott?
It's not Missy Elliott. Oh my God, you people. Seriously?
Is it McLight?
No. Do you guys know popular people at all?
I have to play. What's your name? Is what Kathy Marshall says, and I agree with that.
It's Iggy Azalea.
Scotty Battler says it's Izzy Ignalius.
It's, yeah, Iggy Azalea. Hmm. Oh my God. Okay.
Is it Olivia Newton-John?
You people.
I just love the fact that I'm not alone. The entire chat room missed that.
People wonder why I pick like Tom Jones and, you know.
I love it. He's like, oh, that's Tom Jones. I know that. He was at my birthday party.
Oh my God. Now I know what our demographic is for this show. And apparently it's not Iggy Azalea. I'm so sorry. I'm crossing our.
Yeah, we're not.
Market. Good. Okay, here's our last birthday.
Last
I'm sure you'll know.
Birthday. Ready.
I'm sure you will know this one.
Okay,
I'm so sure.
Here we go. This is the theme to Gomer Pyle USMC.
Wow, look how quickly you got that. And yet you didn't know Iggy Azalea.
What if she said, hey, Gomer Pyle with his marching in the streets? It's like, I can't do rap, Adam.
I had one more song, so I'm just going to play it anyway because.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't guessed.
I haven't guessed Jim Nabors yet, Adam. it's the theme to the Andy Griffith Show.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. So it must be Jim Nabors, Adam.
It is Jim Nabors.
Right. Now, you know, you could have just played one of his songs.
I know, you told me that the last time I had
him. He's such a horrible singer. It's just like, he would just like, you know, yeah, I can sing. And then he was singing like, I am singing my little song. You know, here's a Jim Nabors
song. He's a crooner.
Yeah, let's see. Come on. Oh, here we go. It's Jim Nabors.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored.
On the titties?
Right here is the part where I said titties and I meant to say something else. And it's just like, ugh.
Wait, I think I've got his, I've got another performance of his right here.
Oh, I can't wait. What is it?
Yeah, you ready?
Yes.
Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own.
Except he looks like a frog for some reason.
You know, that frog has a name, Adam. I don't know if you remember what it is.
Michigan J.
Frog is exactly right. It's almost as if you look that up on the internet. Hey, Adam, that is all the birthdays that you have, but let's see if we have any birthdays over here on Pride48.com that I can't seem to get to, but I'm going to keep trying. Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Taffy Huffington, Kathy Carlisle Huffington, to one Mr. Curtis Hill. And we'll go ahead and do it tomorrow. Tomorrow for Melissa the Confused. If you'd like to have your birthday listed on Pride 48 website, sign up for your free Pride 48 account. Don't forget to check on the checkbox and say, yes, I'd like to have my birthday shared to the world because I am that person. So annoying that I can't like fade that out, because if I fade that out, then you can't then I can't do the thing. Is I gotta solve that because I have to play this music on the same computer. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the news game. It's time for the news game. It's time for the news game. It is the section of the segment. I can't talk. It is the segment of the show, Adam, not the section. That would be foolish for there to be sections of the show. There are segments like any normal show. A segment of the show where Adam will read me three, count them, one, two, three news headlines, only one of which is actually true, and I will figure out which one it is. Was I supposed to do something else? Was I supposed to like play contact between that? Yeah, I don't know. You seem very confused.
No, no, I was thinking you should have played the news theme song and then gone into the da 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 da. But that's fine.
Oh, you mean the...
Right.
The news.
It's all out of order. Let's... Can we just eat a red velvet Oreo now? Or something?
News game. It's time for a news game. It's time for the news game. Which, ladies and gentlemen, it is the news game segment of the show. Segment of the show where Adam will read me, count them. 1, 2, 3 news headlines, only one of which is correct. Not using my amazing sleuthing skills, we'll figure out which one is the real one. Adam, what is our first amazing news headline this evening?
All right, well, I had an extra one, so we have 2 truths and 2 falsies.
Okay. Oh, so 2 of them are true.
Yeah.
Switching it up on here. All right.
Yeah, so the first one, a customer of Huck Finn's Cafe in New Orleans discovered a racist epithet on her receipt.
A racist epithet on her receipt.
Yep.
Got it.
Number 2, spy cameras are commonly hidden in hotel room hooks.
Hotel room hooks. You know, the people that hang those are called hookers. They're quite common in hotels.
Yeah. Oh, well. Florida beaches have been invaded with sea lice.
Sea lice. Oh, my God. I hate that. All right. So we have.
I have one more.
Oh, wait. There's 4.
Yeah. 2 true and 2 false. A man came forward and claimed he had been paid $3,500 to protest at a Donald Trump rally.
Donald Trump rally. I made $3,500 for just working at home, and you can too. Click on this link to find out how. All right, so we have a racial epithet written on a receipt. We have a... what was this? What was the second one?
Spy camera.
Oh, spy camera. The hookers. This hooker gate with the spy cameras and the hooks. And
sea lice.
Sea lice invading the Florida beach. And finally, we have a man...
Paid to protest at a Trump rally.
All right.
The news game. It is the news game.
All right, Adam, I'm going to say that the 2 fake stories.
Wow, you're that confident.
Oh, wait,
already?
Oh no, I'm going to pick the first one. I'm going to tell you this is one I think. I think, Adam, that a racial epithet written on the receipt, I think that is a fake news headline. And I'm going to tell you why, Adam, because you said. A customer of Huck's restaurant is like, which didn't sound like a headline at all, Adam. It just like, I don't think a headline would start that way. So that's why I'm going to say that is a fake story, Adam.
You would be incorrect.
Oh, wow. So that's a real one, huh?
That is a real story.
Oh, wow. Was that really the headline, though? That seems like a really shitty headline.
Well, that was, it's hard to say. That is the headline.
All right, then, Adam, then I'm going to say the other real story, since we have 2 fake ones floating out there.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say the other real story is going to be the person that was paid to protest at the Donald Trump rally.
You are so wrong.
Oh, I'm wrong. Wow.
Wow. So the two true stories are the racial slur on the receipt. And Florida beaches have been invaded with sea lice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'll just read one of them. Would you like to hear about the sea lice or the racial epithets?
It's like, suddenly we're in an episode of Catching Up. Adam, I would like to hear, I'm thinking of moving back to Florida. So let's hear about Florida's sea lice problem.
All right.
Oh, do I have to switch to music? Is that what we have to do here? There's too many things going on. For me to accurately keep track of all of these things. So I am now maneuvering myself over to the Trello that I had previously I had previously. I can't talk and type. I really can't. Here we go. Here's the actual news music. And now I just have to like find this news music and then bring it. Okay, there we go. All right. Adam, go ahead. Read us the story.
All right. It's going around Facebook that there's lice in the sea. The headline is Creepy Crawlers, Sea Lice Invading Gulf Coast Beaches.
Yeah.
purple flags are popping up all over the Florida panhandle as a nearly invisible nuisance is causing a headache for beachgoers. Sea lice, also known as beach lice, have been confirmed in South Walton and Santa Rosa beaches, and they may be moving west towards Alabama. Sea lice are virtually impossible to see underwater, making them difficult to track. They are known to get stuck underneath bathing suits and irritate the skin, causing a rash known as sea bather's eruption.
Wow. I hate it. I hate getting eruption on me. That's not fun.
The term sea lice apparently originated during the 1950s and was used by local U.S. residents in describing the condition. This popular term persisted despite efforts by scientists to discourage use of such an inappropriate designation.
Sea lice are actually fine. What are they?
Small parasites that affect fish.
That's like good. I made the mistake of picking a story I thought was going to be interesting, and I was wrong. That was not an interesting story at all. But thank you so much, Adam, for doing that on the news segment here on the... I'm stalling so that I can get the next thing queued up. So anyway, so thank you for the news segment here on Dubious Intent. Now, before we go into this next segment, which, by the way, we're so, so disjointed right now. I have to redo all of this stuff.
Okay.
The lights behind you are blinking from the exciting news game fun music earlier.
I know.
But now that there's no music.
Is it distracting
you? It's very distracting me. It's like very distracting me. I can't talk. Why do I do this as a hobby when I clearly do not have the power of English speech? Wow. I can't even do that right.
So what are we talking about before we go into the next section or segment?
You know, Adam, I like listening to some podcasts.
I know you do
occasionally, and one of the ones that I listen to is a little show called The Sex Factor Recap. And I watched The Sex Factor the other day. I don't know if you saw that Tyler, our listener Tyler, hashtag Tyler H, sent us a link on Twitter saying like, "Oh, look, I this thing slipped. Maybe we know who the winner is going to be."
He said, "Well, I didn't look at the link, but he said there's a porn ad.
Don't say
for
who.
Someone.
Don't say who. Right."
Yeah, and I did not look at the link, and maybe it literally says Sex Factor winner so and so. I don't know.
But the point is I'm ready to hear this dirt on the Sex Factor recap podcast, and there's no new episode, Adam. Why is there?
You know, we didn't talk about that on the show, so you won't hear it anyway. But I did it. I recorded the show with, Scott the Satyr.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. There's probably like a whole bunch of sound issues. Like, he probably screwed up on the, like this.
We used Zencastr, which actually worked bad and good all at the same time.
Right. Which is, it worked badly for us, which is why we stopped using it.
The audio quality sounded pretty good. But there were still internet burbles in it, like we were on Skype or something, which was so weird. And the syncing wasn't exactly on. So I had to go through the entire hour and like kind of delete a little bit and kind of move things around.
Look, Adam, this is Scott. Scott is like the anti-technology person. It's like he will, if there's a possible way for him to break it. He probably like didn't even take the input from his microphone. He probably took the input from Skype or something, and so that's why it sounded like Skype. There's probably some reason for it, or the internet burbles.
Maybe.
I look forward though to listening to the Sex Factor recap show, Adam.
Well, you won't hear anything about that because I completely forgot about it before we did the show, so you won't hear that.
I won't hear what? Oh, about
the
Tyler.
Thing about
hashtag
Tyler. I'll have to do that the next episode. The live Pride 48 episode, we'll have to talk about that.
Live Pride 48 episode? Well, what are you talking about, Adam? The live Pride 48 episode. Do you mean next Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern when we follow after Greetings from Nowhere?
No, that'll be Dubious Intent doing that. The Sex Factor recap is on...
it's on Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Right.
Wow.
So for those of you who don't know or have been living under a rock, Pride 48 is an organization of gay and lesbian supportive and transgendered and queer and all the other terms supportive podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can find us over at pride48.com. We are a member of that fine network. And there is a live streaming event next weekend. That would be the 17th through the 19th. Or the 1917.
I was, you know, Adam. We record in front of a live studio audience, and I was giggling at the fact that Lamont Cranston said, "There's plenty of sound issues. Scott is talking during."
Yeah, I saw that. So I'm just gonna read. So I'm gonna read the schedule because that's what you do.
Oh no, that's you don't do that, Adam. That is copyrighted by Big Fatty Online. By the way, Big Fatty, the host of Pride 48 2016.
Yeah, this is the eighth year. We have the opening show at 8:30.
On what day?
That'll be Friday, June 17th at 8:30 p.m. in the evening, Eastern Daylight Time.
No, actually, I should change. Is it daylight time? I thought it was. We're on.
I don't know.
I think we're on
Eastern time.
Eastern time.
Eastern time.
Maybe we are on daylight time.
Then we have Big Fatty. Then we have Smellcast. Then we have Cocktails and Kerfuffles.
Yes.
Then
we're on daylight savings time. So yeah, EDT is correct. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have Taste Like Burning.
What time is that?
That's at 12 a.m. EDT.
Midnight. Okay. Yeah.
And you know, I hear there's an Oreo flavored Like Burning. Maybe Paul Armstrong should
do a show about
check
it.
That
yeah.
one. Yeah. We have That Blue Jeans Guy at 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast at 2 a.m.
That's right. 2 a.m. The Starboard Power Coupling Podcast. By the way, their 100th episode. So if you
say that three times fast.
Starboard Power Coupling Podcast. Starboard Power Coupling Podcast. Exactly.
Yep. Then the next day, starting at noon, we have Ramble Redhead, followed by Chaotic Ravings.
Chaotic Ravings.
Then Without Smearing My Eyeliner.
Well, that one maybe. At this point in time, Princess Hanna doesn't have a co-host yet, and she said she may have to back out. So it may be just me talking. Christina sent me an email today and said, well, I was going to stream for her, so if you need someone to fill in.
You guys could do another atheist.
I know. Christina and I could do an atheist cast while you're driving to St. Louis.
Right. I'll be in the car. I'm going
to
be listening.
To make your eye twitch while you're driving in the car. But anyway, so that's 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. You don't know what it's going to be. It could be anything. It could be anything. It could be the clip show. We don't know.
We have Secretly Timid, Pleased to Meet You, Pod is My Co-Pilot, Poke It with a Stick, Little Aussie Battler.
Wow. Is that an Australian podcast? I've never heard of that one before.
I heard that one sucks, and the guy sounds like he's masturbating the whole time. I don't know. Anyway, I guess I'll have to listen. Right.
Speaking of masturbation, the Seder Sphere is right after that at 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Inked, Blind, and Confused. Uh-huh. Foul
Are
Monkeys.
You just giving up on telling people the time? That was at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. They can pride48.com/schedule. And then the Sex Factor Recap Show at 11 p.m.
11 p.m. Saturday evening.
Followed by the Big Gay Sex Show.
Now that actually, because we didn't have the thing to fill it, so I guess Matt is doing a new show called Dirty Words. So it'll be the Big Gay Sex Show reunion show and the launch of his new one called Dirty Words, which I don't have any artwork and stuff for yet. So,
oh, cool. Swainer and Judd Movies
will be now. There's a time jump there. So Sunday, so that's midnight following the Sex Factor recap. Saturday night at midnight, basically.
I see that.
And then Sunday, starting at noon on Sunday Eastern Time, that's when Swanner and Judd movie review show will be.
Oh, Swanner! I kind of like the sound of Swainer. Swainer and Judd. Then Chubb's Gone Wild at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Then North and South of Things
at 2 p.m.
Then Same Sex Dialogue. I had a lovely conversation with one of the members of Same Sex Dialogue.
Oh, good. So they're gonna stream themselves.
They are
cool.
She sounded great, so I think all will be well. Then we have Greetings from Nowhere at 4, then Dubious Intent, that apparently I need to change the album art for.
Yes.
I was told by TJ. Thank you, TJ. I will work on that. Then Ding de Bell, as is the tradition, mm-hmm. and the penultimate show, and then the closing show at 7 p.m. Eastern. Now, I thought there was going to be a Penang Hokkien Nyan
Yeah, but I don't have that artwork and stuff listed in our directory. And honestly, it's a foreign language show that has its own specific audience that probably aren't looking at pride48.com. Just know that if you tune into the stream Saturday morning and hear some really crazy sounding shit, it's just John Ong doing his... Penang Hokkien. It's all.
I find it funny. I find John Ong to be funny even in another language. Maybe especially in another language.
I don't know. How do you even spell it? Penang.
I don't know. You should go to his website, johnongonline.com or something. I bet he has it listed.
Is it actually online? No, online.com is for sale. We should buy onlinepodcast.com. I'm just going to johnong.com. And then here's
Penang.
I got it, Adam. I just wanted to play a clip of it. This is so weird. All I wanted to do was just play a clip of it. Are you following this, Adam?
It's very interesting.
I don't know.
We should have played this instead of streaming tonight.
The money hole.
He's talking about his her manhole.
What about a penguin?
Something about a penguin? I'm not sure. It's like apparently something about a penguin being in a manhole is apparently what they're talking about on that episode of the Penang Hokan podcast. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Just know that it's going to be on Saturday morning at some time.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to say. Hey.
Anyway, so everyone, please join us on Sunday afternoon and every one of the Pride 48 shows all weekend long.
All freaking weekend long. Right here on Pride 48. Well, not if you're listening to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast and you're not right here, but to the people here in the chat room, they're right here, is what I'm trying to say.
3, 2, 1. Contact is the secret.
Excellent. It is the contact segment of the show, because...
Is that lamp behind you new? You have a lovely lamp back there next to the window.
It has literally been there for a year and a half.
There used to be like a mattress propped up.
That's gone. Now that mattress has cleverly been turned into a headboard for my...
As we know, you need a cushiony headboard.
No, but that way... I didn't want to throw away the foam mattresses in case someone came to visit. Whatever, it's perfectly viable. I have sheets for it and everything, right? But the point is, I didn't want to... But it just took up a lot of space, so I just put it behind my bed. I put a sheet on it, a solid color sheet on it, pulled it taut. I used some nylon mesh to secure it into place. That's what the nylon mesh strapping was for.
So
it's flush up against the wall and it's got a solid color blue sheet, very taut across it. So it looks like just a regular foam headboard, but it's,
you know, if you wanted to get really creative, you could buy some buttons and thread them through and make little,
look. But then I would need something to, secure it to back there. And, honestly, it doesn't really matter. Also, then that would completely destroy the idea of it, me using it still as a mattress for, like, if someone...
Well, you could secure them with something that was removable, so you could just, you know, pull them out if you had company.
Pull them out when you get company. That's what you do. Anyway, Adam, you know, we have phone calls that come into our show occasionally, and we like to play them because people take the time to call us, and so we like to play them because that's what we do, because we're those kind of people. Hey, let's listen to our phone call, shall we? Hello.
Hi, Daniel and Adam.
Hi, Paul.
I just wanted to call and say I'm listening to your most recent episode.
Yes.
Thank you for the birthday wishes. That was very nice
of
you.
You're welcome.
And I just wanted to say to both of you, that there is no rival with myself and Adam on YouTube. YouTube is a big enough place for everyone, and we all are getting our own audiences. And I'm sure while some of our audience may watch both channels, I'm sure Adam is going for a different type of audience than I am.
Oh, look at him throwing the shade.
Probably going for. Anyway, Adam, I liked your video of your house tour.
Breaking in.
Not the part where you just sit and talk to the camera in the car. That's a little boring.
Yes,
but the actual house tour was really nice. Like, it looks like you have a great place to move into. So congratulations for finding a place. Anyway, that's all. No rivalry. We're just... colleagues on YouTube. How about that? Anyway, that's all. Bye.
And if you want to check out Adam's video of him eating birthday cake flavored Oreos, make sure you go over to Adam's YouTube channel, Geeky Gay TV, and subscribe while you're there. What are you going to say, Adam? Are you going to get all butt hurt for the fact that your video was boring?
Well, that you agreed with him. But no, what I want to say is, oh, Well, say my little talking into the camera was boring, Mr. I crunch Oreos for 5 minutes on my video. Yeah, I'm sorry. That is so much more entertaining. Next time, I'll make sure I have a red velvet Oreo in my mouth as I'm driving.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Adam. You were, all right. It's a video podcast. It was not an audio podcast, right? So people inherently, like, you're taking up more of people's attention, right? So you need to not waste their time on the video. So here's what you do, Adam. He's like, Franklin, by the way, my friend Franklin, he was here yesterday, and he's like, oh, did Adam find his place or whatever? And I said, oh, here is a YouTube video. I was showing Franklin the YouTube video. He was screaming at it. He's like, oh, shut up. Just show me the place. I want to see the place. Oh, quit talking. And it was just like,
well, you know, I want to say, so first of all, I don't need those kind of, that kind of audience. If they don't want to listen to me talk, then I'm not there.
But it wasn't that. Adam, we don't want to hear you talk about what you're going to show us. Show us. If you want to talk about something different, then absolutely talk about it. Then that's absolutely perfect.
Saying that me talking is boring means that you don't like my personality and you need to flip it over to
making
Joey Trevino or whoever that guy
I
is.
I love
or,
Joey Trevino.
Or
Joey Trevino whatever. Is like my favorite YouTuber.
Or whoever. Christina Grimmie. Whoever you want to watch on YouTube, you know, I'm going to talk. I have my own YouTube style. Mm-hmm. And it's very conversational.
I noticed you did some YouTube editing there because you were jumping around there, which I was happy for that. You took out some stuff.
I did do that.
So you edited yourself.
And I, just for that, Paul Armstrong, I'm going to have more 5 minute segments of me talking in the car as I drive around. And you can just watch it or not.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Gauntlet thrown down.
But,
you know, Adam, I don't think you're trying to attract the same audience as him.
No, that's apparently what he says. Not.
His audience is a lot better. He said, well, you're not trying to attract the same the same class of audience.
I'm gonna. Next time I'll be driving. And you know what? I got the most stupid things. The comments I got on the Facebook were how gross that I was eating a mint while talking, and that I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And, you know, next time I'm going to make a grilled cheese while driving.
Now that would be, I would watch the fuck out of that video.
And testing a red velvet Oreo cookie all at the same time. How about that?
But just not the cinnamon ones because they're cloyingly sweet. Hey, Adam, you know, last time I told you about the Sing It, the YouTube video, the YouTube series Sing It. Which is put out by the Fine Brother Entertainment. Have you watched any of it?
Not yet.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I found a new one. Game Lab has a new one where they actually take video games and things that you would do in video games and then try to do them in the real world. So, like this last episode was about them using cars to hit soccer balls, which I guess there's a video game that's very popular where you go out and you hit the soccer ball with your car and stuff.
As you do.
Anyway, it's a fun little show. It's called, what's it called? It's called Game Lab, I think. Anyways, I'm just saying you're a YouTube Red subscriber, Adam. You might as well enjoy your exclusive YouTube Red content.
Well, I'm going to look. We're watching the second season of Kimmy Schmidt right now.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Because we are officially out of shows on the DVR
now,
other than
now.
Family
friend of the show, Joe Batant, said that season two of Kimmy Schmidt was shit, and I purposely didn't even start watching it because I heard that it was shit. Is it shit?
Well, we've only seen two episodes so far. I mean, okay, I'm gonna say that I didn't love the first season of Kimmy Schmidt, but it fills time while we're eating and other things. So, I mean, I don't find it to be any better or worse than the first season. But I'm only two episodes. I'll tell you what I love, absolutely love, and I've already finished.
Yes.
Is Grace and Frankie.
Wow.
I've already plowed my way through the second season of that, and now I've got to wait for the third season. But I love it. Mark doesn't like it because it has old people in it, I think. But so you probably wouldn't like it either.
I already watched it. I watched it when
Jane
it came
Fonda,
out.
Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are great.
I agreed with that, but then I also said that I thought that Sam Waterston was horrible in that, which set off a big, huge argument on the internet. Imagine that.
Well, anyway, I loved it. I loved season one. I love season two, and I know they're already doing season. They're in production for season three already, mm-hmm. And I want it to be now.
Well, there you go.
Because I want to see it.
But you're not even done with this one. You know, Orange is the New Black starts the next season of that. It starts like soon.
You know, I'm not a big fan of Orange is the New Black.
Really?
You
know what? Here's the thing. I thought the first season of Orange is the New Black was amazing. I thought it was great. I thought the first season of House of Cards was great and amazing. It's like the second season of both of those shows were kind of like, eh. And when they did third and fourth season of House of Cards, I didn't even bother watching them. I thought the first episode of Mozart in the Jungle was amazing. And then I just realized the other day, I quit watching the second season of Mozart in the Jungle. And I don't know why. I think because it's in 4K and I was going to watch it on my 4K TV, and so I didn't want to watch it when I normally watch videos, and I just never got around to doing that. Here's the thing. You know what, Adam? I know that we're in the contact segment and everything, but I had this thought today, and I wanted to explain it to you. You know, I've been watching the Star Trek episodes from the beginning and following the Star Trek Chronology Project, which I'm trying to complete before I go to the 50th anniversary Star Trek convention in Vegas in August, the first week of August. So I am currently in season 4 of Deep Space Nine, which is season 2 of Voyager. So I'm right around there. And then there's only 7 seasons of Deep Space Nine, and then I think 7 seasons of Voyager. So it's like, I should make it. By August, I should make it. But I was just realizing today, when they had like this self-contained episode, you know, like kind of like one of those holodeck episodes where, you know, it just really didn't fit into the Dominion War or anything like that.
Right.
I'm like, I had this random thought. I was like, because, you know, new shows are often only like 10 episodes, right? And Star Trek was like 20-something episodes per season.
Yeah, like 23 or 24, right. I think, is the normal.
My thing is that, honestly, if you take away those that don't advance the plot, I think probably they only were 10-season series. I think we've always just had 10-season series. It's just like we've been able to throw in these filler episodes that, like, don't affect anything, you know, just kind of like these weird one-off episodes that don't advance the main plot or whatever that I don't think we need anymore, right? Because now with binge watching, why do you need them? Like, I want to know more about the Dominion War. I don't want to know about, you know, it's like, okay, Bashir's on the holodeck. Okay, that's great.
I agree with you, but I don't want to run out of shows. So the thing I don't like about the shorter seasons is it's less to watch.
Yeah, but Adam, so, if you would open up your browsing device and go to YouTube.com using the hypertext transport protocol.
I could watch Paul Armstrong.
You could watch
Star Trek episodes.
Let me tell you this. Let me just tell you this, Adam. You could go to Armstrong Paul 1964 on YouTube, and there's a playlist for watching him try out different flavors of Oreos.
Well, I think I think by the time I get around to doing that, I'm gonna go over to YouTube, and I'm gonna type in Paul Armstrong.
Here's the problem, though. I go over to Geeky Gay TV, and let's say I just want to watch your vacation videos. There's no playlist for that. You didn't build a playlist for people to watch. It's like you have to hope that you can figure out where they're at here. It's like, no, you should have a playlist. Like, so it's like, here's my Florida vacation playlist.
I'm just gonna hire you as my producer. How much is your hourly your charge?
For you, Adam, I'll cut you a real discount. I'll do it for free.
Oh, well, you can be my producer. You can, I'll give you access. You can promote me, market me, produce me. Why don't you end the contact segment?
Because then we'll have to end the show, Adam, and I don't want to end the show. It's, you know, it's the only thing, it's the highlight of my week, Adam.
Well,
has Hamilton won everything, by the way? I wasn't even paying attention.
I don't know.
Like, I didn't. I'm pretty sure they just...
We're going to interrupt this show with a Tony's update, ladies and gentlemen.
Which by tomorrow, by the time people are listening to this, it would have been already over with and everything. By the way, you don't have any do you subscribe to the Alex Jones channel?
I don't even know who Alex Jones
is. So you don't have any subscriptions over on the right-hand side to show people related channels so that people could find the Pride 48 channel or... Wow.
Well, I don't think anyone is related to me. As we've discovered before, I cater to a much more specific audience.
A different audience than Paul Armstrong.
Armstrong. And, you know, who is relatable to me? No one. I mean, who talks into the camera while driving?
Three, two, one.
No one.
No one, Adam.
But as I was saying before, Daniel, wait, go ahead and say what you were going to say.
I don't know what I was going to say. I'm scared at this point. I don't know. What, Adam?
I love Paul Armstrong. And one day when I run out of Kimmy Schmidt, I am definitely going to go over. But my fear is I'm going to type in his address.
Yes.
And instead of like a normal 401, mm-hmm. you know, error that you normally get when something doesn't exist, yeah. there's just going to be a big like blinking message. Sorry, but he died.
Dubious Intent was written, recorded, and distributed under Creative under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 229-234-7587 or send
contact at dubiousintent.com. Wow.
I just, you know, there is no 401 error, right? It's a 404 error, but that's, you know, otherwise it was a really solid exit to the show there, Adam. It's just,
whatever.
I want to get that 401 error, which I believe is probably just simply like aborted exit of the show or aborted ending of the show.
I don't know.
Oh, you had a 401 error.
I should know that. I really should. Oh, we do a lot of web service testing in my line of work.
Really, you give back the 401 errors, actually. It's like, all right, hey, live show next Sunday at 5 p.m. And live shows all weekend long next weekend on Pride 48. Make sure you're there for a good night chat.
Good night, David.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at Pride 48.com.